chapter 8, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Any other questions about what's going on in the next week or two or anything? Okay, all right. Well, chapter 8 of Revelation, and when he had opened the seal, or seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And you know the old joke about that. That means there can be no women in heaven. And some women get mad about that, boy. She don't like it. But it is a joke, and but the problem with that is there's some guys on that have carried that thing too far and really really hurt a lot of people. And but it is still a funny thing to say, and it's no, it's not what it's talking about. And we'll talk about that silence. And so you got to remember now, but think about that you ever been in a tornado? You ever been in a tornado? Now, it may be that way with a hurricane or something, but a tornado. And I've heard that it's that way in a major earthquake, that everything will become absolutely, completely silent. The wind will stop. All animals will absolutely stop. And then, boy, when it happens, and I know that for a fact in tornadoes, something's getting ready to happen. So you can, when it says it's silence in heaven, it's not meaning that there's not going to be women there. It's meaning something big is getting ready to happen. Something drastic is getting ready to happen. So, but jump down and look at verse 6. And the seventh angel, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. And verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire and mingled with blood. And so see, now from verse 1 down to verse 7, it's absolute complete silence. See? And that's what's going on here. And then all of a sudden, you could literally say that it breaks loose. Okay? So the first angel sounded, and there was followed hail and fire and mingled blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire, folks, that in California is not going to be anything like this, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Look at verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And look at verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. Now think about it. They launched a satellite yesterday. Did you hear about this? They're trying to get into the corona of the sun, which is 50,000 degrees or 500,000 degrees. It's something like that. Yeah, it's a but now notice this. When I was reading this the other day, I thought, wow, a third part of the sun was smitten. Now that's quite. That's pretty wild. I mean, really. And the third part of the moon. And the third part of the stars. Now, it doesn't say which ones, but assuming all of them. He says the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened. Now, that's going to be quite a deal. The sun become half of it dark. And the... you talking about effects of weather change? You know, when, of course, we know that the moon, and it works completely off what the sun does. That stands to reason. The moon is the type of the church, and the sun, of course, type of Jesus Christ, and everything that the sun does affects the moon, and the weather conditions. Now, I don't know about you, and people think it's weird, but when we got a full moon, I know he doesn't. He's up all night long with the full moon. I don't know if he's howling or what, but he's. When I know there's a full moon, I try not even to go out and look at it before I go to bed, because I pull all of my shades, and I don't know if it's up here or what, but boy, it affects me, and it affects the whole world. We know it affects the tide. So I'm just saying, look at these things. Now remember, everything before this was absolutely complete silence. All the hallelujahs and the amens and everything else is stopped. And so so now we have four of the angels sounding, which leaves three to go. We've read four of them. As you read through this chapter, it's nothing but destruction, devastation, blood and guts, kind of like our movies today, you know. But as terrible as it will see, there's going to be more to it, okay? Verse 13, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voice of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." So he's saying, as bad as this is what this angel's saying, just hang on for the other three. And so, and we've got this group of people that thinks they're going to go through the tribulation. Really? Yeah, man. Mm-mm. So it's yet to sound. And so back up in verse 1, notice there's silence in heaven. Well, it's a big deal. And we make a joke out of it, but it's a big deal. It really is. You have to remember that what has been going on in heaven prior to that statement. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, we know that in verse 8 and 9, "And the four beasts and had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then the 24, they get to carry it up." So you've got all this going on in heaven right up to chapter 8, plus all this other stuff, and then all of a sudden, silence. Getting ready to happen. It's the silence before the storm, the old saying. It's the suspense of delay, you might say, in a movie, you know, and it's that terrible wait. But hold your place here, and go to Zechariah, just a couple of books before the book of Matthew. Zechariah, chapter 2. You see this thing again. Zechariah chapter 2, and now if you would to look at that thing at a courtroom setup, when that judge walks in, they demand two things: silence and stand up, right? So that's kind of the context of what's going on here. But Zechariah 2, look at verse 13. "Be silent, O all flesh." So when do you think this is talking about? Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord. For he is raised up out of his holy habitation." Man, he's getting ready to do something. Okay? And so that's the idea. The judge is stood up, and look at, go back to one, look at Zephaniah, just back from Zechariah, but look at Zephaniah, chapter 1, just a couple of pages back from Zechariah, but Zephaniah 1, look at verse 7, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God." So it's the same context. "For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guest." And so that puts you right over in Matthew, right? And so you can see the context of all this thing. So in other words, he's saying, be quiet. Look at in Zephaniah, look at verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteneth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Verse 15, he says, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wantonness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpets. Now remember, that's what it said right over, that's where we're at in Revelation, and alarms against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Verse 17, and I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. So it's coming, folks. There's silence in chapter 8, absolute, complete, dead silence. The Lord stands up, the judge comes in, they start opening the seals with the trumps, and all hell breaks loose. And that's what it's basically talking about. So go back to Revelation, and literally hell is opened up and the demons start coming out of it. So in verse 1 again, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. So did you know that a lot can happen in 30 minutes? I can take a Bible and show you how you can change your life for eternity. You can show somebody that it says that the wages of sin is death, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can get saved in less than 30 minutes. You can get your whole life changed by repenting and coming to Christ in less than 30 minutes. I mean, there's a lot can happen in 30 minutes. And it's going to be strange of what is really going on in that 30 minutes there just at that time. And so verse 2, he says, and I saw the seventh angel stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So you've got and another angel came and stood at the altar having golden censers, and there was given unto him, back up in verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So each one of them's got a trumpet, and the Bible has a lot to say about trumpets, okay? You remember that Joshua, back over in the bush of Joshua, he marched around Jericho 7 days, and they were blowing the trumpets. And on the seventh day, they blew, they went around it seven times and blew the trumpets the whole time. And of course, the walls of Jericho fell down, which brought about devastation. It seems like when you hear these trumpets, in most cases, not all, because there's a trump when we get at a couple of resurrections, but at a lot of trumpets, there's devastation, and it was for that away as Joshua with the people of Jericho. So these trumpets have to do most of the time with judgment. Even when at the rapture of the church, when we go up in the air with him, what's the first thing that happens? The judgment seat of Christ. Okay? So it always, just about always, deals with judgment. And so look at verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints until the golden altar which was before the throne. And so now that is in heaven that they're talking about, okay? And so we need to remember that. So that tells me that there was a temple back in the book of Exodus, and there's a temple in heaven that is just like what was in the book of Exodus on this earth, because that was patterned off the one in heaven. And so the one in book of Exodus is no longer there. It will be at this time, but and it's taken its pattern after the one in heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 11. And look at verse 19. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony, and there were lightnings, voices, and thunders, and earthquakes, and great hail. So it was in the temple there. So that's why when you study the temple over in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, you need to pay attention, because it is a type of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testimony, and there were lightnings, voices, and thunderings, and earthquakes, and great hail. So again, that's a picture of Jesus Christ here. Look at chapter 14. And look at verse 17. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. So look back at Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Not too far from Revelation. Just before the book of James. I just can't find it. Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse 4. Now, if you read this thing, it's talking about the tabernacle, okay, or temple. Look at verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. So that's the one that was booked back in the book of Exodus. Look at verse 23 of that chapter 9. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. So what's that talking? That the one in heaven is been purified, but this one down here on the earth had to be purified by the priest, and they had to go through the ritual and all that. So there was, at that time, there was two on, one on earth, one in heaven, and I don't know. I don't know if there's still a temple with that over in Jerusalem. I don't know if that's there or not. Well, I know it will be built, but I'm assuming that, and I don't know if there's an ark, you know, I don't think it is. Well, we know the Ark of the Covenant's not there, but I don't know if that per se, the Holy of Holies, or, you know, the tabernacle, where I don't think that's even in existence now. So I think it will be built at the first part of the tribulation. Okay. So anyway, so then there will be one in heaven, and of course it'll be patterned after the one in heaven. So when Aaron dedicated the temple and everything that was in back in Exodus, they sprinkled the blood of animals to dedicate it. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, his blood had dedicated the temple in heaven. Okay. And so now, notice that back in Revelation chapter 8 and in verse 3 there, it talks about the incense, which is a picture of prayer. Look at chapter 5, Revelation, and look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So our prayers are to be, they're not to be cold. And I think that's a big problem. I think a lot of Christians pray, but boy, sometimes our prayers are cold, and they're not supposed to be that way, because heat rises, right? Cold kind of, so they're to be hot, and it talks about that. So again, in verse 3 there, chapter 8 of Revelation, it talks about the saints, and saints are just not people in heaven, but anyone who has trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ and repented and asked him to save him, they're saints, and there are good saints and there's bad saints, okay? But Job says, behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. So what we're talking about there is it's talking about the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And so a simple fact of it is there are saints in heaven, there are saints on earth, okay? Rome, again, classifies some special person and give them sainthood, which is just a crock, because if you're a born-again child of God, you are a saint, and there's saints in heaven, there's saints here, and there's good saints here, and there's bad saints here. They're all good up there. Praise the Lord. And so, again, Job said, behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. We do not pray to saints as some teach. They have a saint for everything. For
what was that verse in
Job? Job 15:15. They do. They have a... who knows some of the saints that they prayed? What is it?
St. Peter.
Yeah, well, St. Peter, yeah. And St. Francis. And yeah, but I mean, they have a saint for everything. For... Saint, yeah, your Saint Christopher. Yeah. So anyway, 2 Kings chapter 2, it says, and it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So Elijah knew that after he was taken up, he couldn't do anything for him. Did you ever think about that? Rome prays for saints to do something. They can't do anything for them. That's ridiculous. Pray to Saint Jude that he'll do. Saint Jude is if he's in heaven, he can't do nothing for you. And so Elijah knew that. Elisha knew, if I'm going to get anything from this old guy, it's going to be a promise before he's gone, because after he's gone, he ain't going to do me no good. And there's only been one case to where a prophet came back, and that was with Samuel, and he didn't do any good for him. He told him he wished he hadn't seen him. But so folks, praying to saints doesn't accomplish nothing, okay? And I don't know why Christians can't get a hold of that. That's just like counting your beads can't do a thing for you. It's ridiculous. And it's just something else. It's a money thing. I believe it is. Because you know what? Did you ever go into a Catholic store? You ought to go in that one down in Butte. Down in Butte, they got a Catholic store to buy all this stuff because of that big gopher on the mountain down there at Butte, which is supposed to be Mary. It's amazing what you can buy in there. And they call them help items. They're not help items. Anyway, I'll get up. But it's ridiculous. So anyway, so verse 3 to 5, he says, another angel came out. And verse 4, and the smoke of the incense went came up, the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Verse 5, an angel took the censers and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. So he took a censer. Now this actually, when you look at that censer in the Holy of Holies there, this is the only movable piece of furniture in the temple, basically, which is kind of a part of the golden altar of incense, which is not movable, but this thing, this part of it is. Now watch what this angel does. Now remember, it's absolute quietness, silence up to this point. In verse 5, and the angel took the censer, filled it with fire, the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. So he cast it to the earth. What? Well, the censer. He picks this thing up and filled with fire the altar, and he cast it to the earth. That's from the third heaven. That, you think about that, that's kind of amazing. Now we hear about things falling, but he throws this thing down, okay? And so this thing has come wailing out of the, from heaven, out of the north, and it's bringing with it fire and brimstone. Now look at that. He said, and there were voices and thunderings. Now I don't know whether they're the screaming or I don't know, but it looks like maybe when he throws this thing, it must hit some planets or something, because it's thundering. It messes up the whole atmosphere, and it starts thundering and lightnings and earthquakes. You're talking about supersonic speed coming out of heaven. It's causing that effect on the earth. So it's when he throws this thing down from the third heaven, it's coming at supersonic speed, and it's messing the whole, the second heaven up, all of our atmosphere, and this is what it's produced. What? Him throwing this thing down. That's pretty wild when you stop and try to grasp that thing of what's how it's coming. And so Ezekiel 10 2, and he spake unto the man clothed with linen and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thy hand with coals of fire from between the cherubs, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now here again, God is doing something with those coals of fire, and it's not his blessings, but his judgment. And could hear chapter 8 of Revelation, verse 6, and the seventh angel, which had the seven trumps, prepared themselves to sound. So they haven't done anything yet. Verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire and mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now, what would you... And I'm asking a question. They sounded. What do you think he's talking about there? Huh? Well, I don't know. It's what it said, and he sounded. I don't know. Now it may be talking about the trumpets, because remember they were all given a trumpet. So I'm just assuming that before he does this, he blows this trumpet. And that's what I think it is, because you think about it, everything that happens, there's always a trumpet, even our rapture.
Verse 6 says, the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound.
And that's what I'm figuring it is. So they blew the trumpet, and it for judgment, and then this thing happens. So, verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed him hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, this is from the coals of the fire out of the temple of heaven that were cast down. Now, I don't know if them hit some other planets or whatever, but it's mingled with blood. So people panic when they see blood. I don't know where the blood's going to come from. Is it? See, it sounded there followed hail mingled with blood. So you got hail and fire mingled with blood that were cast upon the earth. It's not that it's going to be blood after, but when it comes down, it's blood. And they were.
That's the fire and the blood.
It's the fire and the blood. It has to be the two. Yeah. But where again did the blood come from? Kind of gory, isn't it? I mean, and this thing hits the earth. So again, some people panic when they see a little bit of blood. What are they going to see when it starts raining it from the third heaven? And it's falling out of the sky.
Yeah, it's on fire. A piece of hail or a frozen piece or something that's on fire, it's got blood on it.
Yeah, that's coming down in blood. I mean, that's unreal. I mean, it's just unimaginable. It'll be quite a sight. Aren't you glad you don't have to put up with this? The plague that took place in Exodus will take place again. Now, the difference, remember over in Exodus, chapter 9 through there, they had hail and fire, and the hail went sideways, and but there was no, the only blood was when they turned the rivers to blood. But on this one, so basically all the plagues that take place in Revelation are a type of what took place in the book of Exodus through there in some form or another. And you know, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24 that what's going to happen in the tribulation, in the tribulation in the earth, has never been experienced before. It was bad back in the book of Exodus, but not like what it's going to be in the tribulation. So I guess what you could say, what happened back in the book of Exodus with all the plagues was just kind of a dress rehearsal for what will really take place. And so then verse 7, and again we read through there what's happening, and verse 8 he says, and the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning. Now notice, the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. So again, this is all, it's not that there's planets falling, these are coming out of the third heaven. Burning with fire was cast in the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Okay, that's neat. Hail and fire mingled with blood. And he says, as it was a great mountain burning with fire. This is a literal mountain on fire. Well, remember when Moses saw God, he saw him on a mountain that was on fire. You remember when God called the 70 elders up from Israel, they couldn't even come to the border. Why? The whole mountain was on fire. But it was on fire, but nothing burned. But here, this thing comes out of heaven. It's a mountain. Now, what do you think is going to happen when a mountain hits the earth? So this is literal. Now, notice in verse 7, the first angel sounded, there was followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was blood upon all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded as it was a great mountain burning with fire was cast to sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. So look at it. This is the only thing. You say, is this literal? Well, I don't know. This is the only thing that the prophet had to describe this scene with. Whenever this thing is, whatever it is that he saw, Do you say, was it a mountain? I don't know. Huh? Well, it's the only thing that this prophet, when he saw it, could, and so it may be a meteor. Alice, you know, and they're always saying that meteors are missing us. Well, this ain't going to miss us. So what could this be? A meteorite or asteroid? And where'd they get all the, you know, how many movies? Armageddon, yeah, there you go. They fly up there and land on this meteorite and try blowing it up to save the world. Of course, it gets saved. So it's where you see where they get all these movies. And so evidently, you say, well, is it headed toward us right now? Maybe. Am I worried about it? No, not in the least. I'm just trying to get through today. I'm not worried about a meteor. If a meteor hits it, it's no big deal. I mean, but it won't hit it until during the tribulation when we're out of here, okay? Now, if the rapture took place, it could hit in about 3.5 years. And is man going to try? No, they're not going to send a spaceship up to land on it and try to drill through it and blow it apart. That ain't going to happen. We can depend on it. Yeah. Now, leave it to Sonya. She'll get this thing figured out here, man. Okay, so verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. That's quite... So they say that right now there are over 30,000 commercial ships on the world right now. So that means over 10,000 will be wiped out at one time. Now, what's that going to do to the economy? Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Walmart, you won't be able to buy anything at Walmart, man. But did you ever wonder why he says destroying the ships? Because I think he sees right now what's going on. I mean, China has got, with Walmart, them ships are so big. I mean, it's and I think there's, yep, half of them going to be wiped out at one time. So you won't be able to shop at Walmart? Mm-mm. Yep. So it's going to put the economy in a mess. Real quick, turn over to Exodus chapter 7. And you know, to an unsaved person, this ought to scare you to death. I mean, we can't, your physical mind cannot conceive this kind of anguish that's going, I mean, to see these things. I mean, just seeing lightning go sideways with fire is bad enough, but when it's mangled with hail and blood and an asteroid of some kind hitting the earth, what, I mean, they're talking about Yellowstone Park going off. It will go off. Yellowstone Park is one of the biggest volcanoes in the world. I mean, if that thing went off right now, it would wipe pretty well all of Montana out, Wyoming, Idaho. I mean, it would. I mean, all you got to do is go out there and watch it, and it's spewing up on it. It's warning you there's something that they look at and say, oh, man, I look at and say, do you know what's down there? The devil's stirring that thing up, man. It's hot. And but yeah, if you've ever studied that thing about Yellowstone, it is so that thing in Hawaii is nothing compared to Yellowstone. And so anyway, But look at Exodus chapter 7 and verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish. And you know, we've read all through that, and we understand it. So when the fish is killed from the blood in the ocean and the sea, again, what do you think that's going to do to economy? There's no fishing. I mean, it's all going to be... What do you think the smell's going to be like? Nothing stinks worse than dead fish. Unless it's dead human or something. But it's going to be horrific, folks. I mean, but you know what's going on there. And so Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, and the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. Now what's that going to be when half the oceans are that away at one time? Woo! Man. So anyway, back to Revelation chapter 8, and he says, verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and that all the whales are going to die, all the porpoises. And the third part, and so that the angels, verse 10, and third angel sounded, and so it's just nothing but destruction. And this is only four seals. And so again, he's saying, look at verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voice of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Hang on, folks. You think it's bad now. Just wait. And so that's basically is what's going on there. And we can't even our minds can't grasp what it's going to be like. But praise God, no man has to go through that. Bill? Wow, I don't know. Yeah. Well, and it said when Adam, or when